Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second again to remind you that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group, and he is here for the Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to take care of all of your home buying needs. We've gotten a lot of DMs congratulating us on this partnership. Good for the show. Yada, yada. This isn't for us. This is for you guys. And Louis's your guy. We don't know anything about this, so we've partnered with him. Anybody that has questions, hit Louis up. All right. One thing I do know, did a little research earlier this month in July, mortgage rates hit an all-time low, at least for a long time. It 3.07% for a 30-year fixed rate, and as low as 2.56% average for a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. I don't know anything about numbers past, you know, like addition, subtraction, but I know those are pretty low. And I know that Louis is the guy to help you through this process. I'm going to read you a couple of reviews to just give you a kind of a feel of how other people have felt working with Louis. This is from Haley. We were first-time home buyers, and Louis was a tremendous help through the entire process. He helped with estimating monthly payments for potential properties and walked us through the cost and process when we decided on a home. Very personable and stayed connected with us through every step. Corey said, Louis has been extremely helpful and knowledgeable through our time, our whole home buying experience. What would typically be a stressful and nerve-wracking time had been turned into a worry-free process with Louis. And that's what you guys want, right? Louis is that young guy. He's personable. He's going to help you out. He's going to let you know everything you need to know throughout the entire process. So if you would like to get in contact with Louis and have him help you out, you can contact him at our special email that we've set up for this partnership, hawks@gohomeside.com. Or call him at 515-238-9949 to start the process. Thanks. Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 134 of the podcast. Today we talk about a lot of things, including the return of Luka Garza, the exit of Oliver Martin, college football players opting out all over the place, and the momentum that we are currently rolling with on the podcast, a lot to discuss. Glad you're here with us. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 134 of the podcast. And today, for the first time in what feels like forever, we've got some good news out of Iowa football that football camp is on. The guys are in practice. They're getting the work in. And this is the closest that I've felt to being able to see football in what feels like years. This is a big moment. We need everything to go well and the coronavirus to stay out of Iowa City. And, man, I'm excited, even though camp sucks, but at least the Hawks are back in it. And we're really close to Iowa football, so let's start this thing off.
I don't know if Kevin's there. He's on a phone. Kevin, it's that Stryker company, they are just working him like a plow horse. And but Kevin likes to work. He's
talking about me?
Yeah, we're talking about you.
Well, hey, what's wrong with working, man? I know you guys don't really know a whole lot about that, but it's good. It's good stuff, man.
Hey, you know, and to each their own, really. Kevin's calling in. He is coming back from Chicago, I assume, right, Kev?
Not Chicago. Iowans are banned from Chicago, or you have to quarantine. I was in Burr Ridge this weekend.
Burr Ridge. Okay.
Yeah. 25 minutes southwest of Chicago.
Okay. Cool. So if he's a little lighter, I'm not sure how the volume will be, but if he sounds a little lighter, he's on the phone coming back and driving straight into work because, again, he's the grinder. He's the Gruden grinder of this podcast. And Drake and I really just sit at home and enjoy life. Just call us the stay-at-home dads. Drake's a pet dad, at least. But yeah, so the Hawks are in camp. We got a Snapchat from B. Ross, who was driving by the Marriott, or he was out there for some reason, said he was happy that he was not in the hotel this year. And that is probably the one thing that most guys are really happy about once they're done playing football, is there's no more camp, no more summer camp.
The Hawk Instagram page put up a post that was like the best type of camping, fall camp or something like that. And that's a total lie, because I don't even like camping outdoors at all, but I like it way more than I like fall camp.
Fall camp's a rough one, boys.
We know how Kevin feels about it. He's talked about it. He's talked about it multiple times. And I feel like the reason that is because it's this, like, I don't know, what's the psychology on that? Like, it's your only escape from the actual complex, and like, but your life is so 24/7 football during that time that it gets roped in with the monotony and the shittiness of camp, and it's just all combines into one. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I mean, being isolated.
Being isolated, it's just your body just gets worked to shit, and you know you don't have like a whole lot of free time. Like, any free time you have, you're either eating or sleeping. Like, it's mentally exhausting. It's just as mentally exhausting as it is physically.
Yeah, but what's the reason that the hotel gets the bad rap? Like,
just because you never go there for anything else. Like, we don't go there for happy times. You know, Coach Ferentz doesn't order 50 pizzas and go say, hey, go stay in the Marriott this weekend. You can order as much room service as you want.
That would
you know what I'm saying? The restaurants around the Marriott are all on black card. You guys just go have a hell of a time. We'll pick you up at 8 for a movie. Like, that doesn't happen. It's just like, okay, you'll be down at the Vans at 6 a.m. And when the Vans bring you back at 10:30, this doesn't even feel like a place of solace. It feels like a prison cell.
It feels like your prison cell?
Yeah, even though it's a beautiful place.
Right, yeah, Right. It's the connotation that you just, like, you're really never happy when you're there. It's just,
sure,
you know, you kind of hate life when you're there. It doesn't have anything to do with the hotel. The hotel is really nice. So, I mean, you know, if someone had decided to have a wedding there, we had a great time there, you know, it might change things up a little bit.
So we need
we need
some positive things to happen at the Coralville Marriott, and then maybe the psychology will start to turn around. Though the difference between the camps that we went through and at least this year's camp, due to the old COVID-19, the boys aren't in the hotel. They are, as I understand it, they're basically running an in-season schedule each day. They wake up, they lift, they have meetings, they go to practice, and then they have an afternoon break, and then they're back in the afternoon for.
So they get an afternoon break where they get in their own cars, go to their own house, take a nap, and
correct.
Come back?
Correct.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Go eat whatever food you want.
Yes. And not only that, but they got, I told you guys in the text the other day, they have $35 on Black Card.
Do you know how many of those Kelowna chocolate milks we'd have had sitting in the fridge?
Bro.
$35.
Bro, dude, just straight Kelowna. I would have, my brother sends me, he sends me snaps of him getting Stella or Estella's or.
Estella's is on Black Card now?
It absolutely is.
This is out of control.
Okay, dude, I don't know how you spend $35 at Estella's because a $10 burrito is like.
You don't.
Filling for me.
Yeah, the answer is you don't. There, right. I'm fairly honestly, positive.
I don't know how to spend 35 black card dollars a day. I don't
well,
know.
Well, dude,
how.
Yeah. When I went to so you guys know when I went to Stella, not Estella, but Stella, for 27 straight black cards or something during the in season or whatever, just like a maniac. I would get the Page chicken sandwich and the wings. So the wings appetizer and the chicken sandwich, and it came out to like 21 and change.
And how many things of ranch did you get with your wings?
Two with that and two with the sandwich. So four total things of ranch. But the ranch consumption is neither here nor there. but we, think about that, $35. I would still have room for an entire entree, and then I'd have money left. Like I'm fairly positive that I don't know if it's their feeling.
Are they still getting training table right now?
Yes. So then when they're at the complex, like I think they get breakfast and they get dinner and then the Black Card is like for lunch, I believe.
Lunch.
Man. And you're supposed to spend $35 at lunch.
I have to imagine they're all leaving money on the app each day because there's just no way.
Well, I mean, it's use it or lose it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I know.
Go to Hy-Vee and buy so many groceries.
I know, Kev. We had two refrigerators. I know that our fridge, and we would have stocked it daily with either Bread Garden or Hy-Vee. It would have been either of the two.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like Drake said, those Kelowna chocolate milks would have been filling up the recycling bin.
Yeah, yeah. Our Kelowna, the fridge would have been full of Kelownas, and the freezer would have just had like 118 frozen chicken breasts in it.
Yep, exactly.
I think we'd still have money left over. So anyway, that's what the Hawks are doing right now. For those listening, welcome in again. 1:34. The show is off for a day. We took a break. You haven't heard us for a week now, and the episode that came out 1 week ago today, if you're listening when this comes out on Monday, was us discussing the possibility of. The best basketball player in the nation, 100% bias, but still think it's true, Luka Garza returning to the Iowa Hawkeyes for his final year. And he actually made the decision to come back and play one more year in the black and gold the day that our podcast came out. So this is a little bit old news, but boys, we have a...
The season has to happen. And they gotta allow people in Carver because that place is gonna be the factory of electricity for all of Iowa.
The whole, yeah, I
did. You guys see the Vegas odds for the national title?
It's yep. like 14-2 Iowa, or 15-2 or something.
No, it was like 9-2.
Nine.
We're like the third favorite behind Villanova and someone else.
It's wild.
The silliness.
It's wild to see yeah. Iowa's name up on the top of that thing.
What?
It's
what?
Dude, it's nuts. It's
Come
nuts.
On. Come on.
I just want a Final Four. I'm not even greedy. I just want a Final Four. But I'll take the championship.
I want a Big Ten title.
A Big Ten title, obviously, which is going to be tough because, again, in the last week, I think the day before our podcast came out, the Illinois player that's really good, or two of them, I think, both announced that they're going to be returning to Illinois. And so I guess Illinois is going to be elite. Iowa's going to be elite. Wisconsin is supposed to be elite.
Michigan State's always elite.
Michigan State just got two of like the top 10 recruits in the country, I think.
Yeah. I mean, just so the Big Ten is going to be out
like,
of control.
One of the guys is supposed to be like a one and done type guy too.
Great. So Luka returning, and I have his stats pulled up here. Luka, Luka averaged 24-10 last year mm-hmm. as a junior. Not quite 23
in the Big Ten.
In the Big Ten, 23.9 and 9.8, two blocks a game. And with him returning, our starting lineup is going to be
J-Bo at
the point. Joey Wieskamp.
Actually, he might play the three.
Is he going to play three?
He'll probably play the three.
So is it going to be C.J. Frederick?
I would imagine it's C.J. Frederick.
It's going to be Frederick at the two, yeah. Wieskamp at the three.
Yeah.
Is it going to be
Dude.
Jack Nungy maybe?
Nungy at four?
It might be.
And then Garza at five?
But who are we forgetting? I feel like we're forgetting a good name.
Connor McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. He's the backup point guard.
What's
up, Kevin? I just got a question. How do you guard all these guys that can just drain threes?
I'm not sure when you have Bohannon, Wieskamp, and Garza on the floor this year. I don't know as a coach what you do defensively. I just don't.
Well, see, the problem is that if they don't double Luka, he's going to score 40 a game. So if they give presence in the paint for Luka, that means either J-Bo, Joe Wieskamp, or C.J. Frederick is open every single possession. That's what that means. It's like watching the Warriors back when they had Steph, Clay, and KD, except for they have a serious big man down low. So, I mean, that's a serious team.
Dude, it's dangerous.
It's a dangerous team.
And they're like veterans too.
They're all young guys. I mean, you've got Garza senior, Bohannon senior, like super senior. Wieskamp, he might as well be. He's in his third year. I mean, he's got all the maturity and experience under his belt.
And the kid is an absolute mental assassin. He just gets it. He's so level-headed. He doesn't get thrown off his game by, like, bad things happening. I talk to him all the time about the mental side of the game and how important it is because I was a total head case and how that – if he's going to be a great player, he can't be. And he just gets it. He's just – it's the man.
Yeah, and though Garza's decision was probably made up long ago, Kev, I am going to give you the credit on this one. You ended the podcast last week with Garza's coming back 2021 national champions.
Print the shirts.
Boom, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
I think he told us to print the shirts. Man.
So this one's on Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for getting Luka to return. And that's basically, I mean, we just wanted to touch on that real quick. Just going to absolutely destroy people. And I'm so excited to watch. I have not been like super excited about IO basketball in a long, long time. I mean, other than last year, it was very fun to watch. But this year, we just need it to happen. Speaking of being super excited, you know, sometimes cool things happen on the podcast, right? And we teased it a little bit last week. I kind of teased it on the Twitter as well. We've got some momentum right now. We just so happen to have secured what they're calling a trial month sponsorship with Manscaped. Okay. So for this next month, we are partnered with Manscaped. Code WALKON at checkout, 20% off and free shipping. And you guys have to help us out. All right.
Let me tell you about these Manscaped products. Yeah, I'll sell them to you.
Tell them, Drake.
So on Saturday, you know, I have a house down in Arizona, and even though Arizona is a dry place to live, still got a little grass, water my grass every day, so you got to cut the grass on the weekends. Went outside, mowed my lawn, nice and sweaty, you know, the exact way that the housewives in the town like to see it. Yep. And then, you know, I had to go upstairs and get myself cleaned up, so I mowed my lawn down out in the yard, went upstairs, took a shower, mowed my lawn, and got both lawns mowed, easy. Thank you to the Lawnmower 3.0 and Manscaped. Didn't nick my balls at all and got the job done really quick. So if any of you gals are looking for your man to clean it up a little bit and spice it up in the bedroom, I'm telling you, the Lawnmower 3.0 is the product to use.
So, Drake, I mean, you hear it. What's up, Kev?
I was gonna say would be an awesome present for your significant other if you're for the ladies out there.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, this is just something that you need in your life if you want your relationship to go to the next level.
And listen, it also, if you're a really, really hairy man and an Iowa fan,
Bo Bauer,
what better way to show off your Iowa spirit to either shave a nice tiger hawk or a nice eye into your chest hair?
Yeah.
The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool.
Yeah, this thing could take your fandom to the next level. The Lawnmower 3.0 that Drake is talking about is the best hygiene tool for modern man, right? They've got ceramic blade and skin-safe technology. The snags are going to be completely reduced. They also just released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to the Lawnmower 3.0. They sent us all care packages as being hosts and of the show that's going to promote this product. And not only did we get the lawnmower, which honestly is the Cadillac of grooming tools, you this thing in your hand, it's got like, I mean, it feels incredible. But they also sent us like this t-shirt, this nice form fitting t-shirt. And
these, nice, but nothing's better than the underwear,
the underwear, dude, the performance boxers. They sent us so what happened is I got the package. I pulled it out. I was like, lawnmower. Cool. Got the trimming tool. I immediately got completely undressed in my living room, put the boxers on, put the t-shirt on, tucked the t-shirt into the boxers, and then went and took a picture and sent it to Drake and Kevin. Now, is that weird? Maybe. Am I excited about this product just because they sent me free stuff? Yes, but also it's incredible quality. We need...
I honestly can't wait to get home tonight and go to Kevin work has, on my... family jewels.
Yes, Kevin hasn't even gotten to experience yet, so he'll get his review in a future podcast. But again, code WALKON, WALKON at checkout at manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping. And the future and kind of balance of our sponsorship partnership with Manscaped kind of depends on how many people use our code. So please go use our code. I'm begging you.
Better sex.
And yeah, and your balls will thank you. Your balls will thank you. And that's it. Speaking of your house, Drake, you said you were trimming your lawn. Back to the important stuff here. 2 out of 3 walk-ons now own a home. Kevin.
Hey-o!
Kevin, you're doing some adult shit now.
I'm doing some adult shit. So your boy did buy a house. He doesn't own it yet. Hasn't closed yet. But okay. I did make a purchase agreement on a house, and working with our boy Louis Lenz right now. He's helping me through the process. We're hoping to close within a month here soon.
Dude, that's some real. And you told us, you kind of announced it to the group by saying there's a permanent, or there's a new place to stay when we come and visit town. It looks beautiful, man.
Permanent free lodging for the boys.
I absolutely can't wait. To come and see it. It's a lot of space.
Oh, yeah, me too, man.
It's a lot of space for a single man.
You got a lot of money like Kevin Ward, you gotta figure out a way to spend it.
Yeah, you gotta spend it somehow, man.
yeah, so, man, I'm just I'm excited. I'm excited to have you guys there at some point. We'll just go and tear down Iowa City like we used to.
Burn it down. And so that's what's recent in Kevin's life. I don't know if there's anything else exciting going on. I just got back from the lake, which is why we did have an off Thursday. We didn't have an episode Thursday. It was down at Lake of the Ozark. Awesome. Being at the lake is great. On the boat almost every day, just chilling, relaxing. Drake, is there anything else happening in your life that's fun to catch up on? Or
to be honest, man, not a thing. I'm waiting for the state of Arizona to open back up. We're okay. Still on like a mask order. There's nothing.
Okay. Well, something did happen in, there's been multiple things happening in college football, but let's get to some Iowa news. And this is not an I told you so moment. All right. From any of us, even though it may sound like it. It is not an I told you so moment, but I would be remiss to not talk about this because we did catch so much shit for it the first time. Oliver Martin.
And the second time.
When was the second time?
And nobody caught more shit than
about a week ago when Drake tweeted about it again.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, that was mostly Drake. I mean, I think we were pretty free from the slack on that one. But Oliver Martin, 4-star receiver out of high school, chose Michigan initially for college, decided to transfer a year ago about a year ago this time.
Like just over a year ago. Yeah.
Just over a year ago in the summer, ended up choosing Iowa, the Hawks, coming back to Iowa City, his hometown. And – there, it was a hot topic. It was a really hot topic. Just spicy jalapeno chili pepper hot topic.
They had me stuck on a skewer like a hog. They were roasting me over a fire.
Yeah. And so we did a podcast about it. Drake had some strong feelings about going away and not choosing the hometown Hawks and then coming back to them and how he felt about that. Kevin and I also had some opinions. But there was a lot of people who were like, you know, kind of rubbing up on the Oliver Martin train and saying, oh my gosh, we're so lucky to have him. And I think the point that I and Kevin and really Drake wanted to get across to when we first took that, all that shit, was that, you know, it's not always so smooth. It's not like a 4-star just transfers in and things are so easy. Right. And he's now transferred out of the University of Iowa. He's no longer a Hawkeye. And I have some inside sources and read some of that in a second. But I do want to replay the clip of what I said personally about 14 months ago when –
And I can't thank Kluver enough for playing this clip because it's going to take a little bit of the heat off your boy.
Well, it just takes – it just kind of – you know, everybody thought he was going to come in and he was the savior, right? And I was a little brash in the statement. You know, we were having a good time. We kind of, you know, I could have been a little bit more mature in the way I presented this. But here's the general statement. I'll play it for you right here.
Like, I promise Iowa's going to be good. If you think Oliver Martin is going to come into Iowa and, like, change the Iowa receiving game forever, you're wrong. Guess what? You're fucking wrong. Because I can guarantee you he's not any more athletic than Brandon Smith is. And Brandon Smith is putting up the same kind of numbers, or will put up the same kind of numbers that Tavon Smith put up, that Kevontae Martin Manley put up, and every other good receiver at Iowa.
I'll tell you what, boys. I've been talking to some of the coaches. They're really excited about Nika Rugani. We got Emir Smith-Marset coming back. We got a decent receiving program.
Huh? We're never. So that's a clip from the episode. What, Kev?
Ha.
You like
interesting.
That? Yeah, weird, huh?
That's weird.
So I was obviously I was childish in my delivery. I'll be truthful. The point was there, you know, we had Brandon Smith. We had Emir Smith-Marset. Kevin made the call out. Nika Rugani, going to be a boss. And what do you know? Those three come in 2019. There are three main receivers, and they produce. And then we had Tyrone step up as well as a fourth.
He had a big year, too.
And so you know, it's not an I told you so moment. I just, when you guys, we shouldn't, you know, there's no reason for us to, like, display our legitimacy, like, hey, we know how things kind of work in the program. It's just really tough. It's really tough for some guy to walk into a program, especially in the situation that Oliver Martin was in, and just all of a sudden be the guy. And I think a lot of people were like, thought that that was going to be the case.
And you know, I can understand people rooting for him, you know, a hometown kid. They want him to come back and, you know, be the hometown here. I can
absolutely
understand that.
And at the end,
we wanted him to be good. Wanted him to be a superstar. That would have been awesome.
At the end of that podcast, if you go and listen to it, we actually say, Drake goes, I hope if he catches 10 touchdowns, I'll apologize for what I said. And I was like, I hope he does. I hope he goes off and catches a touchdown per game and goes for 80 yards. We were all very hopeful that he would be a contributor. It just didn't work out that way. And now, I've heard reports that he's going to be a Husker.
All I can say is what I'm going to say as my final piece on this, is that people were mad at me a year ago, and people are still mad at me because I made fun of the kid on Twitter. And I'll tell you what, if quitting on two teams in succession in one calendar year does not warrant getting made fun of for being nutless, then this PC snowflake culture just isn't for me.
At this point, when you do it twice
in a calendar year,
in the kind of situation,
there's a pattern.
You know, it's like
a pattern.
I could see it as, and I go back to that podcast, episode 30, June of last year. I said, you know what? Who knows what it is? And I actually heard reports from guys on the team last year that got to know Oliver a little bit, and he wouldn't even go into the details of why he left Michigan with them. It was like kind of a deeper thing. So I'm not even so sure it was a playing time thing at Michigan. Because I think he was going to get some snaps if he stayed there. I think there was like some relationship issues or something went down. But then you come to Iowa and hey guys, yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Let's be honest. Like we have an incredible receiving core right now. We have four incredible receivers in an offense that it's hard for two guys to really, really succeed at the type of level that other receivers are producing at, you know, at some other schools. And I just think, you know, he just didn't have enough momentum. It's hard to go in a year, win a spot. And I'm not going to name any names, but I talked to some guys and, you know, some of the stuff we speculated on, like him not being just a guy who's just gritty and wants to go grind it out and compete and just that some of that was echoed by a couple of the guys I talked to. One person said he just really didn't do anything. He was very quiet. He was a nice kid, great kid. Everybody liked him. But when he would go out on the weekend.
I don't really hear anyone say anything bad about
him. Nothing bad about him. Great kid, they said. Just a little different. Said he didn't really have a lot of, you know, didn't have a lot of like really good friends on the team that he would like go out with on the weekends. Someone said, let me find it here. He just liked college a little bit too much, and that football wasn't the number one dead stop priority in his life. This is stuff that I heard from some people I talked to.
That wouldn't be the first guy for whom that was true.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Like another guy said, just didn't really care about football that much. So it just is what it is. Like I really do. I'm not, you know, maybe Drake doesn't, but I really hope that he goes and finds a career, because I think he is a really talented athlete. Like he was a stud in high school, and I think he's got a good frame. And I think if he finds a spot, and what I heard was he potentially could go to Nebraska. And if he goes to Nebraska,
he can kick, to quote Drake Kulik, he can kick rocks.
If this kid ends up in Nebraska, listen to me.
It's kind of the perfect ending to the story.
If this kid ends up in Nebraska, I hope that he finds the absolute crown of Kayvon Merriweather's helmet right into his chin. And I hope he's just laid the fuck out so he can think about all the dumb shit he did to the Hawks.
I personally, and that's Drake's take, I hope the best for him. I hope he finds somewhere to play – and I don't wish
other than Nebraska.
It is going to be fun to kind of do the whole shit talking back and forth if he goes to Nebraska, but yeah, it's just a wild kind
anywhere
of
anywhere outside the Big Ten. I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah,
sure. I guess.
Now, speaking of other teams in the Big Ten, Big Ten football in general, there's a lot up in the air right now, boys. I got to be honest, and it's maybe just the Twitter narrative. It doesn't sound like this thing's going to hold on. Like, I feel like college football is hanging off the cliff, and there's just so many things that could take college football's last three fingers off that top rock and just let them slide down that cliff forever.
I'm afraid that the snowball has already started rolling downhill. That's why I led the podcast off with it was positive in Iowa City right now. Like, they're in camp, things are positive, but I am a little worried about it.
Kevin, what are your thoughts? Where's your mind at right now as far as the possibility of football happening or not?
Well, to be honest, over the past week, it was all over the place. You know, I was like pretty skeptical, kind of scared about the possibility of not playing. Then Big Ten comes out with the schedule. I'm like, oh shit, we got a season this year. We're gonna be playing. The boys are in camp. Let's go.
Yep.
And then like 2 days after that, the Big Ten comes out with a statement. It's like, yeah, we're just gonna keep going, no pads for now. And then we're gonna come out with a statement like what later in the week or something about the possibility of a season or. So now I'm like, oh god.
Yeah.
I'm terrified right now. I don't know.
And then I saw reports of like Ohio State, Nebraska, and two other teams like joining the Big 12. Like, potentially there's talks about that if like the Big 10, I don't know. There's all these like scenarios and shit going down. And I would say my confidence level is like maybe 30% right now. And it just feels bad. Feels bad, man.
I don't know. Like, see, the Big 10's like, oh, I don't know. Because the Big Ten's got a new commissioner. It's his first year as commissioner, so he's probably like going to try to be extra cautious and everything.
He's thinking, God, this was a stupid decision.
Yeah, year to start off his career, and I don't know, man. It just doesn't look good. Just the narrative doesn't sound good. But who knows? Maybe they're waiting on numbers.
That's the thing that I'm.
All I know is the kids want to play, man. The kids want to play. If the kids want to play, let the kids play.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet today that was like, it's insanity that the NFL, the MLB, the NHL, golf, UFC, all these sports can find a way to happen. And for some reason, college football hangs in the balance. Like, It just is interesting to me. I don't know. The kids want to play. I saw Trevor Lawrence tweeted today like multiple times, like, we want to play. It's interesting. I don't know. You did mention that
there's some talk about a spring season. I don't know how that would work, but I don't know. No one knows yet. I mean, fuck.
At the wild chance that the season actually goes as currently planned right now, you did mention the schedule that the Big Ten came out with. It's a 10-game conference-only schedule, and Iowa draws Maryland from across the pond, the pond being the
might
conference.
As well be across the pond.
For their home opener, and the schedule got reshifted around. I want to touch on a couple aspects. Very front loaded with a momentous kind of schedule where the Hawks could start 6-0. Like, for just the average fan who like is like, oh, they should beat this team, they shouldn't beat this team, it looks like they could go, you know, maybe 7-3, start 6-0, and then finish 1-3. We've got Maryland to open up, Purdue the next week at Purdue.
Without Rondale Moore.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that too, because we've got some opt-outs in the Big Ten that are huge. And two of them happen in week two. Rondale Moore has opted out. He's potentially the best athlete in the Big Ten.
Potentially the best athlete in the country.
I mean, he is the electric factory as far as playmakers go. And he's their, you know, he was their guy, and he's now gone. So that's a huge hit to Purdue. I definitely, if Iowa didn't have the edge already, they've definitely got it now. The next week, Iowa on the 19th of September would travel to Minnesota, where Rashad Bateman, their best receiver, has also, as Rondell Moore did, opted out of the
first round pick. Yep.
And so if Iowa didn't have it, you know, a lot of people were actually giving that one to Minnesota.
Stop it. They've been giving it to Minnesota for like 5 years in a row because they beat us in 2014 and they hate Iowa, dude.
Right.
We've got these guys, we've had the trophy in our building since I can remember.
Yeah, since I was born. If you know, Iowa probably gets a little bit more on the edge there. It's a, you know, that's probably a pick 'em. And then the old 12th game of the year during our time at Iowa, Nebraska at Iowa, now happens on the day after my birthday, September 26th, the fourth game on the schedule.
That's going to be weird, just playing Nebraska in the middle of the year.
Do you think that favors – so do you think that favors Nebraska or Iowa more? I actually think it favors Nebraska because I think Iowa is a team that
Were you going to say that we improved throughout the season?
Yes, slight edge, exponential – you know, you're either moving in the right direction and moving in the wrong direction. And by the end of the season, you're kind of, it's exponential. So it gets bigger and bigger.
But at the same time, like under Scott Frost, Nebraska has not played sharp to start off the year.
You're right. Opinion. You're right.
Nebraska hasn't been sharp since the 90s.
Yeah, this is true. I still give that one to Iowa in Iowa City. Like I see.
Honestly, beginning of the year, middle of the year, end of the year, I don't see it as any advantage for Nebraska.
It's still Hawks by a million every single time we step on the floor with those bozos.
That's true.
1,000,000%.
That's game four. Game five, the Wildcats of Northwestern come to Kinnick, and then Iowa goes to Illinois on October 10th. Those are the first six games. All on the, other than Maryland, the opener, all on the west side of the conference. And realistically, if Iowa plays its game and nothing funky happens, they really could be 6-0, for sure 5-1.
Think on paper, I think Vegas is going to have them
4-2
favored for at least five of those games. Five.
Yep. And then after that Illinois game, they get a nice bye week before they go to Penn State. Going to be a tough game. Now, Penn State, another team that's been hit by an opt-out, Micah Parsons.
He's a monster. And
that's right, yeah.
They're missing 110,000 people and their best defensive player.
Big-time linebacker from Penn State. The dude is a monster. And you're right. That Happy Valley, that is a serious factor when it comes to –
that's the most serious that I think I've ever seen.
So no fans at Penn State.
Are we going to talk about the edge that Rutgers and Purdue have that there's not going to be any fans? I mean, they're very used to this type of environment.
Is Rutgers the favorite to win the Big Ten now? Who knows?
They probably are. They should be.
Yeah. We got to throw champagne in there because
Illinois definitely has a chance to win the entire thing. They're used to playing with 7,216 people.
And half of which were cheering for the other team anyways.
Yeah, so Iowa gets that nice bye week after the first six games. They play Penn State. Then they have Michigan State at home, which that's a win. Like, if Iowa can't beat Michigan State at home.
Yeah.
Especially
so Michigan State's got a new coaching staff. They didn't have spring ball. Like, I can't imagine what type of product Michigan State's going to be able to put on the field this year.
Yeah, and so then we have another bye week. So we actually have bye week at Penn State, home versus Michigan State, another bye week. So we get another bye week before the last two games of the year, which are the big boys. Wisconsin comes to town in Kinnick. Hey, if you want it in Kinnick or Camp Randall, you take it in Kinnick. And then we finish at Ohio State. I mean, we all know how that one ended last time. But those are the two big boys at the end of the schedule. I really like the schedule. I said it on Twitter. You can't.
Wisconsin's coming to Iowa City, correct?
Yes. Yep.
That might be for the West. That's might be for the West.
That's for the West.
That's probably,
I mean, Wisconsin's got a cupcake schedule. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, no, they got Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan State. Or no, yeah, they got Rutgers. They got the three cupcakes of the East plus Michigan State, who has now turned into basically like a pound cake. It's a little firmer. It's not quite a cupcake.
I mean, Indiana's better than Michigan State, I'd say.
Right, at this point.
Indiana's got a solid team, I think, actually.
Yeah, so they avoid Michigan, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, which is, I mean, I don't know if Barry Alvarez was making the schedules himself.
Barry Alvarez is greasing some palms over there somehow.
He's sliding cheese curds to somebody. I don't know.
My dad was always adamant that they were pumping fake crowd noise into the stadium when we were on offense, and now they got Barry Alvarez writing the schedules for the Big Ten commissioner.
Yeah, and bribing people with pounds of cheese curds. It's unbelievable what this new commissioner of the Big Ten is allowing, and I will not stand for it. Either that, or I would also like to be bribed. I'll do a Wisconsin podcast if you give me enough cheese curds. It's essentially that simple. But yeah, that's the schedule. And you know, it's hard to really, I saw, this was hilarious. Someone came out with bowl projections. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Like bowl projections?
I read somewhere that said that the bowls are dying to make the bowls happen. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Because they make so much money during bowl season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all a money thing. If there's if there's one golden hope through this whole thing, it's that the NCAA, it runs, their veins pump dollar signs, and that's the only thing they run on. And so they're going to find a way to make this happen if they can.
I absolutely agree. Right. That's the saving grace, is that they're so freaking greedy that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not just the NCAA, man. You got to think, these universities need this money. Like, they count on this money every year.
Yeah, it's going
to. You see some there's some teams that are cutting sports because they know, like, their athletic programs are going to hemorrhage money this year.
Yeah, they're going to have to shut down, like, a ton of sports for, like, 2-3 years.
Right. For the schools that make a shit ton of money through athletics, like, that funds a lot of other stuff at the schools.
It's not good.
And, you know, like, they're already cutting tuition because they're going to be half in classes. So, like, if there's anything that's keeping the idea of college football afloat, it's that the universities need the cash.
Yeah, 100%. Funny that them being so greedy might be the one saving grace. Just give it just 1 year, have it be a positive. So hard to speculate on those schedules. Again, at surface level, like, the average fan can say, oh, they should go 7-3. But who knows, especially once the season starts, who has who, how COVID is affecting everything. The one thing I do want to get into is this whole idea of the opt-out for the guys who, you know, Parsons, Bateman, Rondell Moore. What are your guys' opinions on them, a player in their position, clear NFL draft pick this year or this upcoming year in 2021, and, you know, this season in so much, there's so much up in the air, so much question. And even if we do have a season, you know, those who aren't just in it for the love of true college football and, like, whatever we can get done, we can get done. It kind of seems like this season with an asterisk by it. Is it like, what are your opinions on those guys opting out? I think honestly, at this point, if you're in that spot, it makes a lot of sense.
I think that there's only a few guys who really should be thinking about it for the monetary reasons. Rondell Moore being one of them,
for sure.
For sure. But, like, guys have had the option to not play a year and then just go to the draft. Like, that's been happening. Guys don't play games. That's happened too. We've already said we don't really love that, but this is just the only situation that is so unprecedented that none of us ever thought about it. It's like, you know, if somebody doesn't want to mess around with the uncertainty and all that BS and they just want to go get themselves ready to go get their money, I can hardly blame them in this one instance.
Yeah. I think it's this one. Kevin, what do you think about it?
I mean, like, yeah, this year is completely different from any other year. You know, we've talked about skipping bowl games. Don't love it.
Oh, where'd he go?
You know, we talked about when, was it not Joey Bosa, but Nick Bosa just called it quits after half a season.
Yeah.
What was it? Didn't love it. You know, it turned out great for him.
Sure did.
But, yeah, I mean, I understand it. I guess this year more so than any other year. I'm just curious if that becomes a thing moving forward. Like, say, a guy, like, you know, after COVID and it's not even a thing anymore, the guy has a monster first two seasons and, like, he's not eligible for the draft yet. Do you just sit out, like, your junior season?
You just train.
And that's, like, you just call it, like, you know, like, I'm just not going to risk getting hurt this year. Or, I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know, man. It is weird how, like, it's becoming more and more about the money every year.
It's going to be. I mean, that's just the way.
Yeah.
Until they pay the players, it's going to continue to look – there's going to be – it's just going to look like that.
Because look at the marketability of social media. You see, as a college athlete, take Rondale Moore, for instance. If he were to come back and play for just his scholarship check – and not be able to monetize off of social media or anything. He could see a guy like, for instance, Jerry Jeudy, who just got – he could be in contact with him, and Jerry Jeudy could be telling him how much money he's making off marketing, his contract, this, that, and the other. And, like, there's so much extra money out there now that there didn't used to be that
– Yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't think about it.
That's why I think
– But at the same time, man, you know, like, if – the opportunities out there, does he even go to Purdue in the first place? How much money do you make at Purdue?
That's true, but with online, with Instagram and the way online companies work, I mean.
Okay, but don't, you know, Rondale Moore, he's a superstar at Purdue, but imagine you make so much more money if you're a superstar at Alabama. He had offers from everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just points us further and further in the direction of they have to be able to make money off their name with, like, company sponsorships. Because even with Rondale Moore, like, yeah, you're in West Lafayette, there's not, like, you're going to get all these crazy deals, but, like, national deals could be, I mean, we got Manscaped to sponsor our podcast.
Moore's good enough. He could be a college Nike athlete.
Right. Like, I mean, they could have these national elite all world brands sponsoring them. Yeah, I don't know. I think this year it does make sense. I agree with you guys. It makes more sense than any, like, say you stay and who knows, you stay and, like, then they cancel the season. There's no championship or anything. You get hurt or you play in this weird, like, I don't know. I say,
and what, like you were saying earlier, it's going to feel like a weird season regardless. Like,
right.
Is there a postseason? I think they're still planning on doing the college football playoffs, but I haven't heard about any other, like, there's no news on any other bowls, and there's still going to be a Big Ten title. So,
yeah.
I mean, just because there's no non-conference games doesn't exactly mean, like, it's a wasted season, I guess. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel better about, you know, saying no go before the season than during the middle of it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's such a weird thing, man. Everybody just wants college football. Man, I don't know. I need Ward's winners to be in my life every Thursday night. That's what I need.
I need us to be able to have a Bennett down.
Dude, I just bought a house. You think I don't need some extra income right now?
Need a little Ward.
I need this to be college football.
You need some Ward's winners in your life, bro.
I need some Ward's winners to buy me some furniture, man.
Hey, and if you want to help Kevin buy some furniture, maybe put a little wet bar down in his basement, use code WALKON at manscaped.com. WALKON, 20% off free shipping. I was that guy. This is literally not – we don't have to do another ad for them. I'm just telling you. I've heard the Manscaped, like, I knew about the company, all this stuff on other podcasts, and I've always wanted to go and buy that trimmer, but I got, like, a cheap trimmer for, like, Christmas one year. I've just been using that, and I'm too stingy to buy the real shit. I'm telling you, if you are a guy and you've been considering a trimmer for your face, balls, or gooch, or whatever you need, buy this thing and use code WALKON, WALK,
for 20% off your purchase.
ON. At checkout, manscaped.com. That was it.
That was episode 134. We talked about a lot of good stuff. Luka Garza is back, and as long as college basketball happens, that is enough to be happy about and at least hold me over for now. Kevin, enjoy your time at work this fine Sunday afternoon.
I will. Hashtag save your nuts for Kevin so he can buy a couch.
I'm going to go hashtag shave your nuts for Kevin
okay. right now. All right. Well, and there you go. 134. Now you're going to get some just great conversation now that we have this state deal. So thank you guys for listening. We are happy to be back podcasting, and we will talk at you again. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.